environmental concerns, including corporate militarism screening, while helping to meet personal financial goals. More information, including disclosure information, can be found at sriguy.com.
WEFT, Champaign, Urbana, and East Central Illinois' community radio station since 1981. Broadcasting at 90.1 FM and streaming online at weft.org.
Research shows that mentors play a powerful role in providing young people with the tools to strive and thrive, to attend and engage in school, and to reduce risky behavior. Make a difference in your community by becoming a CU One-to-One mentor. Visit www.cuoneto1.org or call the Champaign or Urbana School District for more information.
40 years of information, opinion, recorded and live music. 40 years of community access. 40 years of living hand-to-hand. 40 years of freeform radio. We're just warming up. We're aiming for 40 more. Help us with a donation. Go to weft.org and click on the Donate Now button.
This episode of Disability Beat is pre-recorded. This is Disability Beat, a public affairs program for and about people with disabilities. It's about social justice, community supports, inclusion, accessibility, freedom, and choice. My name is Vicki Nicewander, and I'm the host of this program and also the parent of a fantastic young woman with a disability.
The views and opinions expressed here are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT, its board of directors, associate station manager, or Prairie Air Incorporated.
Stay tuned for an interview with Hillary Fahn, who owns a business in Urbana called Equability that adapts clothing for people with disabilities. And you are listening to Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by Hillary Fahn, who is a fam. See, I asked before the show and then I still messed it up. Hillary, welcome to the program. You were supposed to be on last week and we got our wires crossed and it didn't happen. So I'm really, really glad you're here today. I'm really anxious to learn all about your business and the work that you're doing. So why don't we start out by just introducing yourself to the listeners?
Sure, absolutely. And thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it. So my name is Hillary. I grew up in Chicago and I came down to Champaign originally for my undergrad and master's at U of I. And I ended up staying around this area, working remotely and also working on my business.
There you go. Okay. And you went to U of I. I mean, how many people do we interview here who go to U of I and then they stick around town? So how long have you been in the Champaign-Urbana area?
I've been here since fall of 2016. So what is that, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, you're pretty young. You just graduated from school. So why don't we talk a little bit about what is your motivation? Well, first of all, let's talk about your business and specifically what you're doing.
Sure. So my company is called Equability, and we adapt existing clothes to make them more accessible. So we take existing clothes like button-down shirts, jeans, and we use materials like magnets, Velcro, and snap buttons to make them more accessible. This is especially true for people with dexterity or mobility issues. For example, my mom has arthritis and carpal tunnel. Mm-hmm. She loves button-down shirts and jeans, and she wears them every day. But the little buttons on her shirt or the zipper of her pants are really difficult, especially in the morning. So we aren't making any new clothes. We want to make sure that the people who have clothes that they've had for decades and years, they can take those clothes that they love already and just make them accessible to wear to suit them in their current time of need. We also want people who have more eclectic taste in fashion, who want to shop at vintage stores, want to shop at stores that don't offer adaptive options, to wear trendy clothes. We want to help those people get clothes and make them more accessible for them.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to me, because if you're trying to work your skills to help a very diverse population of people, you're not going to be able to meet everyone's needs if you just buy clothes and adapt them and put them on a rack to sell. So what are some of the projects that you've done in recent in recent times? What have you worked on?
Sure. So I think it's been twofold so far in our company's time. So we first launched our button-down shirts. So you can send us, typically we recommend something that is a heavier cloth weight, so it can hold the weight of the magnets or the Velcro or the snap buttons, and it won't be weighed down like silk or chiffon. So you can send us a button-down shirt, and we can do the front placket of the shirt. Our second biggest project has been pants. Mm-hmm. It's been funny. We took the shirts to people who have dexterity issues and mobility issues and ask them, hey, what do you think of this? And they always said, wow, this would be really helpful for jeans. And so we went, okay, maybe jeans are the next thing to add.
Mm-hmm.
So with jeans, instead of the zipper, we've figured out a way to rip that out without damaging the clothes and replace it with squares of Velcro or snap buttons down mm-hmm. the zipper line. For the button at the top, we've moved that around so it always looks buttoned, but it's replaced with either a dress pant hook or a square of Velcro, depending on dexterity levels.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the two main products that we've been working on. We are workshopping some new ideas. So people have mentioned, one person on Instagram reached out, she wears a leg brace that starts below her knee. And she said, it would be really great if I could wear jeans or pants that aren't massive and really wide at the bottom. So then I can just slip it on and it doesn't have to be this really wide pant style that I don't like all day.
Mm.
And that's a good idea. So we're definitely working on taking some suggestions that people have shared with us, workshopping that, seeing how feasible it is for us to do just time-wise, material-wise. But yeah, we're excited to see what comes next.
Yeah. So I'm thinking about people that I know who are essentially not able to dress themselves because their physical involvement is so great. Do you ever design things so that, you know, a personal support person can help them dress by, you know, dressing them from the front and closing things in the back? Or is that something you haven't ventured into quite yet?
I don't think we've ventured into that quite yet. We are very much trying to figure out what of the physical features and the functional features that we can change. There are quite a few companies like Silverts and Albertsons online where they sell shirts that have Velcro in the back so you can snap them closed and open more easily. The main issue with those companies is it's more likely than not sweatpant material or in very specific patterns that aren't as trendy or modern as people would like. So those options do exist, absolutely. I think one of the biggest missions that we have is to try to make sure the clothes don't look any different. One of our biggest goals is to adapt clothing so people don't feel like you can recognize something's been changed. They don't have to feel like they're standing out in the crowd. So for example, with our button-down shirts, my partner has figured out a way to try to sew as close as she can on the existing seams so you don't have to see so many lines on your shirt. One of our white button-down shirts, I've had people look at it and just say, nothing's been changed with it. And that's kind of our goal. So I think hiding that seam on the back has been our biggest issue, but definitely something that we will consider, of course, because that is a big need. Yeah.
What's the most interesting project that you've done?
The most interesting project? I think a lot of people have mentioned jackets. Jackets are a really big issue, whether it's the zipper in the front or just getting it on.
Mm-hmm.
There were quite a few people who we spoke to who shared stories of, there's one gentleman who would wear his coat backwards because he used a wheelchair, and it was just easier to put his arms directly into the jacket so it was backwards on his front side rather than just trying to put on the jacket and zipping it up and dealing with all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think after hearing those stories, focusing on jackets and seeing how we can add maybe some ties or some loops where people can grab on a little bit easier, especially inside, to pull it over their arms. It's been very interesting. My partner, she has a lot of experience in fashion and design.
Mm-hmm.
So she is very much enjoying the process of prototyping, trying to figure things out and seeing what works.
Yeah, it sounds like you're really problem solvers. But I have to ask, what brought you to this business? What was your motivation for doing that?
It actually happened really organically. I never thought I'd have my own company or never was aware of this project. In January 2020, I took a trip to Brazil with my undergrad program. I was a senior at the time and very much took this to get some travel and more experiences. But the trip was all centered around people with disabilities. And it was about creating a business to help people with disabilities. So the first couple of days we just spent...
Was that the choice of the professor that directed the trip then? Or was it...
I think it was the program.
What was your program?
Sure. It was the... IBPC, International Business Planning Competition.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a school from the U.S., the hosting school that was in Brazil, mm-hmm. a school from Germany, a school from Hong Kong. And I guess collectively, the leaders from those schools decide on themes. I know.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think the year after us was climate change was the next goal. Uh-huh. Yeah. So with that goal or with that theme, we spent the first couple of days in Brazil just visiting hospitals, visiting disability advocates, talking to people about their problems, seeing what they struggle with. We ended up visiting the Paralympic Training Center in Sao Paulo, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up talking to a gentleman called Cluton Nunes. He's a Brazilian wheelchair rugby player. And at first he brought up infrastructure and just kind of the issues with navigating broken sidewalks with a wheelchair. And at the very end, he was like, you know, my favorite outfit used to be a t-shirt and jeans, and I can't wear that anymore. And I very much went, oh, really? Tell me more about this. And it turns out that after his accident, he realized that sitting in a wheelchair all day in a pair of jeans, they'll slip without him feeling it or noticing. So he's been really embarrassed. He now pretty much, or when we spoke to him, he told us that because he was an athlete, he could just get away with wearing athletic clothes every day. So he wears basketball shorts, he wears stretchy t-shirts. He doesn't have to wear jeans anymore and quite frankly, avoids them mm-hmm. now. But I thought that was kind of heartbreaking, you know? If you have your favorite outfit that brings you comfort every single day, you can't wear that anymore, especially after an accident when you need that emotional support for yourself. So yeah, I think that really sparked something in my mind where I went, I think this is an issue that more people are dealing with.
Yeah.
I think it's an issue that people are finding their own ways around too. Either they're avoiding it altogether. I've talked to many people who just don't own button-down shirts or mm-hmm. slacks or jeans anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that idea really stuck with me. So once the program ended, it was only 10 days. I was the only one in my group who went, I really like this idea. Maybe I'll keep going with it.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I kept continuing.
Well, that's really interesting. You know, I know lots of men in particular who wear sweatpants. That's what they wear because that's what they can get on independently. Mm-hmm. So you're saying you can have a pair of jeans or you can have a pair of dress pants and get them fixed to meet your needs.
Absolutely.
How long does it take once somebody sends you a basket of clothes to get all of those things adapted, and how much personal attention do you have to give to that individual to figure out exactly how to make it work?
Sure. So right now on our website, we have a standardized option, a list of options where we say you can choose the shirt, you can choose the materials, you can choose whether we do all of the buttons. If you want to wear it more casually, we offer an option where we don't do the top button. So you can manually adhere it, or you can just leave it open as you'd like. But we tried to standardize the process on our website as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The turnaround time, it generally takes a week for the item to arrive to us when it gets shipped. I generally give my partner a week of turnaround time in order to get those done. So by the Friday, we ship those out. It's another week. So hopefully it gets out in 21 business days is our goal.
Well, that's not so bad. I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround given that it's so individualized for people.
Absolutely.
So you don't have a storefront business.
No.
How is it working for you?
I think it's going well. I think it's nice. We don't really need a storefront business. We don't really need a ton of machinery. My partner, she sews. She has sewing machines at home that she's very comfortable with, that she's been using for years. I've basically just been buying material, doing everything online, coordinating shipping schedules to get things to her house versus like buying labels and getting them shipped back to the people who ordered the clothes. So it works out online. We don't really need an in-person.
Yeah, and I would imagine that most of your business comes from lots of other places besides Champaign-Urbana, because there are, I mean, certainly there are people in town who might be interested in using your services, but it's a much broader concept.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think one of the biggest issues that we've had was shipping, actually, because we have two-way shipping, that cost really adds up really quickly. So what we've been doing as my project, I think accessibility and access to our service is something really important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to develop relationships with local organizations to develop what I like to call drop-off partnerships where people within their local community can drop them off at an organization they already visit or a nonprofit they already visit in the area. So they can drop it off there. That location can aggregate orders throughout the week, so it's not each shirt getting a separate shipping label that costs $8. They can kind of save on those costs, and we can charge the person who's getting their shirts changed a lower cost as well. So I think there's a dual aspect of, yes, we're online, yes, we can serve everyone nationwide, but also we do like to serve the community and are trying to make it more accessible in that way too.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have a real person, you know, that lives in the community and wants to do good things and be available to people. I met you at the Disability Resource. Well, I think I met your partner at the Disability Resource Expo because you had a booth there. And I thought, well, this is really an interesting service for people to take advantage of. And I don't think probably enough people even know that you exist at this point. How do you do your outreach? How do you advertise your services? Yeah. So if people want more information, what is your website? Where do they go to find that?
Sure. So our website is equability.co, equability.co. You can either reach out to the email address there. We have a contact us page. Or if you want to find us on Instagram, it's just Equability LLC. And you can send a direct message. I will see that because I am the person running it. So yeah, those are two ways you can get in touch.
Great. You got your mother's dress on. You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is Disability Beat. I'm Vicki Nicewander, and I'm joined today by Alexis Ivanek, who is the staff member for the Illinois Respite Coalition. I know there are a lot of families out there who have been looking for respite services for years, and hopefully Alexis can give us more information that will help those situations. Welcome to the program, Alexis.
Hi, thank you so much for having me as the representative of the Illinois Respite Coalition. I really appreciate your time.
Sure. Well, why don't we start out by you introducing yourself first and then talk a little bit about how you came to this position. You know, what was your experience and knowledge that brought you to the Illinois Respite Coalition?
Yeah, definitely. So my name is Alexis. I am the manager of programs currently with the Illinois Respite Coalition. I have been working with the Illinois Respite Coalition since February of 2020 when I started with the organization as a respite provider. So I was actually working hands-on with a family and their participants providing respite for a family that was in need. Mm-hmm. I came to the position in kind of a roundabout way. I didn't know much about respite or the Illinois Respite Coalition really at all before getting started as a respite provider. I was actually living in Champaign, Illinois, attending the university when a family had contacted me looking for someone to provide respite care. I really knew nothing about respite or kind of the world of disability services, but I did have some experience working with children with disabilities in an after-school program in Champaign, so I agreed to give it a shot, and next thing I knew, I was hired as a respite provider with the IRC, and I was providing respite in home for an 8-year-old boy for several months, close to 2 years before I graduated from the university and then eventually joined the administration team with the Illinois Respite Coalition as the program assistant and then later the manager of program.
Yeah, so this is a statewide program or is it a regional? Where is it located?
Yeah, so we are statewide. We have a couple of programs available, including emergency, in-home, and voucher respite. So emergency respite is statewide. In-home respite is statewide minus Chicago specifically, because there are quite a few respite agencies that we refer to in the Chicago area. And then we also have voucher respite that services 69 central and southern Illinois counties.
Okay, let's talk about each of those forms of respite care, if you will, and kind of explain to the listeners what that means and what it takes to qualify for that program.
Definitely.
So why don't we start with emergency?
So Emergency Respite is a short-term program, and it is a one-time grant per family across the lifespan. So it's lifespan respite, which means we can service any age, and that we can also service any disability. So eligibility criteria for Emergency Respite are that you have a diagnosed disability, and like I said, this could be any disability. And then you do also need to not be participating in any other states or waiver-funded programming, which is going to be consistent between all of our programs as an eligibility criteria.
Mm-hmm.
But with Emergency Respite, we do offer $500 in a one-time grant per family to be used short-term over the course of about 30 or so days. And this program is really intended to be a short-term support to kind of get your foot in the door with respite care services as we are getting you connected to more sustainable forms of care, such as a long-term program. So Emergency Respite is like a quick support, and it really does support families in a short-term capacity, but we hope that it really gets kind of respite going. So you can use Emergency Respite as you're filling out links to your applications, as you're on a wait list for another program, things like that. And then with Emergency Respite Care for that $500 grant, there's a couple of ways that you can allocate those funds. So you can use the $500 to help support a respite provider coming into your home.
Alexis, can I interrupt you for just a minute? You are fading out occasionally. So if you could, I don't know if you're using a handset, if you get a little closer to your mouthpiece and maybe slow down just a little bit, that might help.
Okay, definitely. Thank you. Yeah, I was just saying that with Emergency Respite, there's a couple of ways that you can kind of allocate those funds. So it can be used towards an approved respite worker coming into your home. So an individual of your choosing that is over 18 years old that is able to provide the care for your loved one with a disability. Otherwise, you could use the $500 grant towards an approved program, such as a special recreation or a summer camp, an after-school program, other things like that, that provide a sense of respite for the family.
And what qualifies as an emergency?
Yeah, so this can be a planned or unplanned emergency. So when we're talking about planned emergencies, this might be an upcoming surgery that you have scheduled. Unplanned emergencies, it could be like a sudden hospitalization. We can also, it's really broad when we talk about emergencies, like what would constitute. It can be something as simple sounding, so it's not quite simple, but as simple sounding as caregiver stress or something along those lines. So emergency is really, with the term, meant to give a broad scope so that we can offer this funding to as many individuals as we can.
Okay. And the second type of service was what?
In-home respite.
In-home. Okay.
Yeah. And it's true to how it sounds. It's respite that is intended to take place within the home,
mm-hmm.
or a community space such as a park or a library. And we offer an hourly amount per fiscal year for a family to use towards respite care services. We do ask that, you know, you assist in the worker hiring process. So it can be anyone that we hire as long as they're over 18, mm-hmm. and live outside of the family home. And with this, we hire the worker with the Illinois Respite Coalition, so they become a respite provider. And they are able to provide respite for up to a capped amount of hours per year. So, for example, if you have multiple participants in the program in your family, then we can offer up to 300 hours per year.
Wow, that's quite a bit, actually. More than I've heard other people of other families getting respite over the years. It seems like the respite programs locally here have not been adequate, shall we say. So it's good to hear that the Illinois Respite Coalition is getting on top of this and providing some other options for people. So do I understand correctly that you aren't, the person with a disability cannot be receiving other types of Medicaid services to qualify for this service?
That's correct. So if you are hoping to qualify, you cannot be participating in any other state or waiver respite type funded programming,
mm-hmm.
such as examples that I like to give are a home-based or a child care waiver.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are receiving some other type of waiver services, especially ones that provide respite, that would disqualify from qualifying for our respite programs, in-home emergency and voucher respite.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is considered like a duplication of services through the state of Illinois. In other words, like double dipping into like the serviced pot. So we're only able to offer one type of service per family.
Yeah, well, that makes total sense. And then you are serving the most needy families out there who are receiving no services at this time, which there are more than enough of those families out there. And then how about the voucher program? How does that work?
Yeah, so this voucher offers 48 hours per participant per fiscal year, and it's actually at a reimbursement rate of $17 per hour, which offers $816 for the participant to use. It's a similar process to emergency respite, where you're going to choose one avenue to use this funding towards, or you can actually do like a little mix of both for voucher respite.
Mm-hmm.
So the avenues that you can use voucher towards are a worker coming into your home at that reimbursement rate of $17 an hour, or an approved program that you can use the $816 towards, such as a special rec, an after school program, a day camp, a summer camp, things like that. And then you can also do like a mix of both. If you want to allocate some of those hours towards the worker, some towards the program, that is perfectly fine with voucher respite.
What is the process for a family who is looking for respite services? Where do they begin?
Yeah, my best recommendation would be to give us a call at the Illinois Respite Coalition, and I can, of course, share my phone number. But we do an intake call process, which takes about 10 or 15 minutes, where we gather family information to determine eligibility criteria for our program.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make some respite referrals from there for any programs that the family may qualify for, either with our organization, other respite agencies, or other care providing agencies throughout the state. And then from there, should you qualify for our respite programs, we will send over applications. So it really is a pretty quick process. All you need to do up front is give us a call, and we will kind of talk through some qualifying questions, and then we'll share information about the programs and get you set up with all the resources that you need. And my best recommendation would be to call my direct extension, and I can share my number if you'd like.
Sure.
Yeah, so that number is 866-455-7377. And my direct extension is 101. You can also call 103 for Spanish-speaking representatives. And we have through extension like 106 with representatives for the IRC. So there's multiple people that you can get in contact with. But if you'd like to reach me, I am at 101.
Well, thank you so much, Alexis Ivanik of the Illinois Respite Coalition. Thanks for joining me today. This and other episodes of Disability Beat are available at weft.org/public affairs. For updates and information, join our Facebook page at Disability Beat Radio. To share ideas for guests or topics, email Vicki at disabilitybeat@gmail.com. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great rest of your week.